All right, good evening, gathering. We're week three of our Becoming One series. Tonight we're talking about anxiety. If you saw our social media, everyone's favorite topic. And I thought to myself, how ironic that I get to be the one to come and speak to you about anxiety. I'm not even kidding you, I woke up at 4 this morning with like mind racing, full of thoughts, could not go back to bed. And I was like, this is just ironic. That's how my mind works. So whatever I share with you tonight, know that I am like speaking directly to myself as well. We're going to be encouraged and challenged by God's word. I think that he has a lot to offer us, a lot of freedom, a lot of healing. And as I have studied this material, I have been greatly encouraged, being reminded of truth rather than giving into my feelings, my emotions. Speaking of emotions, any Inside Out fans in this room? A couple of you. Inside Out 2 came out not that long ago, and they introduced a couple new emotions. If you've seen the movie, then you'll recognize our first picture up here. Anxiety was one of the new emotions. This is kind of how I picture my anxiety to look, if I'm being honest. A little unhinged, a little crazy. But at first, when she comes onto the scene in this movie, she's kind of presented as the solution to all of Riley, who is the main character's problems. Like, she's kind of presented as the person that has the plan and is going to figure things out and is going to make everything better. And so she kind of gets to work and is actually quoted by saying, "My job is to keep her safe from the things that she can't see." So keep that in your minds when we're thinking about who this character is, anxiety. So second picture, anxiety, if you've seen the movie, you know, it kind of spirals out of control, and over time, she takes over the brain's controls and is influencing Riley in some of the most harmful and negative ways, which leads her to have this full-on panic attack in the movie. I saw grown men and women crying, walking out of that theater. Like, this was so impactful, just this scene of seeing this character, this young girl, struggle through the effects of anxiety and unchecked emotions, and letting just emotions kind of rule what we do. And so you see her just kind of take over in the most unhealthy of ways. And I look at, you know, this movie and thinking about my own experiences. I know anxiety is an emotion that probably most every single person in this room is familiar with in some capacity. And I do want to start off tonight by saying that there are appropriate and healthy amounts of emotions such as anxiety and fear. They're healthy and can be normal. Like, when in check, they alert us to things that are unsafe and can keep us by doing the right things. And these emotions are created and given by God. So I do want to acknowledge that there are healthy places for these types of emotions in our lives. But like many things, unhealthy and unchecked, anxiety can begin to impair quality of life. I know I'm not saying anything that is surprising probably to most of you. I do want to also acknowledge that there is a difference between struggling through seasons and bursts of anxiety and fear and stress, and then also the very real and very clinical side of disorders and, you know, clinical anxiety. Diagnoses. And so I do want to be able to acknowledge that there is a difference here. And I, by no means, am a clinical professional. We do have so many people on our staff that are clinical counselors and are trained in this that I would love to point you towards. In fact, we actually have a new Care Series class starting next Monday over navigating anxiety as a believer. And so if you're interested at all, I would encourage you, check that out. It's here next Monday night. But I want to go ahead and just give those disclaimers that there is a very real difference. I do believe that God provides peace and promises peace for every single believer, but I do know that how we navigate those things does look different in each person's life. Anxiety, no matter in what form, presents itself in unique ways to every individual. So maybe you are sitting here thinking, like, this message might not be for me because I have it under control. I look at the different ways anxiety can present itself, and as I read this list, maybe I can kind of ruffle some feathers, but I think of worry. So, you maybe are a person that, again, like anxiety from the movie says, I'm thinking about the next thing that's going to happen. I'm trying to protect myself from any sort of outcome that I wouldn't imagine or I wouldn't like in the future. So there's worry that can kind of come in and impact everything. You can maybe turn to becoming a perfectionist in your life and in your work and in your relationships, wanting everything just right, wanting to make sure you can control everything. Maybe anxiety for you translates to having a short temper or becoming frustrated. Things aren't going like you've planned and emotions can kind of get out of hand. Or maybe you're the person that when you feel stressed, you want to pull away and become more distant and somber and isolate from community. Maybe you have hyperfixated on something or someone in the past that feels like they can fill this void. And if I'm just with them or I'm in this situation, then I don't have to think about the other things that are happening in my life. As we think about the ways anxiety can impact our lives, it feels like this monster that we cannot overcome sometimes. And it presents itself in all different ways. And I think often it can feel like something that's happening to us rather than something that we have control over or that we're choosing. Harvard did a study on the effects of long-term anxiety and stress and how that impacts the body. And the results to me weren't necessarily surprising. Increased stress and anxiety increases stress hormones, raises blood pressure, drives inflammation and plaque formation, contributes to health problems such as stroke, kidney disease, sexual dysfunction, and heart problems. And their definition of anxiety, which is pretty similar to the movies, is the price that one pays for the ability to imagine the future. Maybe you felt bits and pieces of that. The stomach aches, the headaches, the inability to sleep, the sweaty palms, the jitters, loss of appetite. Anxiety is such a serious issue, not just for our minds and for our souls, but also for our physical bodies. Everyone navigates this on some level. This is a significant, and I would venture to say, growing problem in the world and the culture that we are in today. But what I want to acknowledge tonight and what I want to spend majority of our time talking about is that God has something to say about our anxieties and our fears. He has actually come to give us a life of freedom and a life of peace. Tonight, we're going to look at how that is even possible in the midst of seemingly impossible emotions to deal with, such as fear and anxiety. We're going to look at the words of Jesus himself, actually looking at John 14. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and make your way there. He's going to talk a lot about peace and look at kind of how these truths, these elements can fit into our everyday lives. Questions that kind of raced through my mind as I was thinking about some of these ideas is, can someone actually be a person of peace? Like maybe you've seen some people in your life that you would say are pretty chill. But if you have a personality like me that can overthink every single thing ever, I think about, can someone actually be a person of peace? Will I ever get over my anxieties and fears? And why do I feel this way when I don't want to feel this way? When I feel like I've tried everything to not feel this way? I recognize it's such a sensitive topic that we are talking about tonight. But like we have already looked at in length and established as foundational to this series, that God is a God that uniquely loves you and loves to offer forgiveness and healing and freedom. He doesn't belittle the issues that you and I struggle with. In fact, he submitted himself to live a limited life, taking on flesh and walking among us, struggling with the same things that you and I struggle with. A life with Jesus is a life that is filled with hope. And that's what we're going to talk about. That's what we're going to spend majority of our time with, is hope and peace in midst of a world that is absolutely bent on convincing you the sky is falling and there's always something new to be concerning yourself with or worrying about. There's a lot of parts of scripture that address peace and anxiety and fear. But tonight in John 14, we're going to look at Jesus' final moments with his disciples before he's going to be crucified. He shared a meal with them. He washed their feet. He instituted what would be the Lord's Supper, communion with them. And fully knowing what he was about to go and have to endure, torture, betrayal, death, He sits them down and leaves them with final words and prayers. And in John 14, he's promising the coming of his Spirit to guide and to direct and to never leave them as orphans. And in the midst of this encouragement, these final words that he's offering them, we see John 14, 27, where Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Again, I'm a question asker, I'm an overthinker, so I'm reading this passage and I'm like, yeah, but how do I not let my heart be troubled? Like, how do I not let it be afraid? This passage makes it sound like I have a lot more power over my heart and its feelings of being afraid than I feel like I do when I am afraid. I think about a time I had gone to, I went on a beach trip with some friends, this was years ago, and we were in Florida, beaches are beautiful, we're out in the water, out in the ocean, and we couldn't have been more than like waist deep. We're just kind of sitting, talking, letting the waves come in. And as I'm sitting there enjoying this perfectly normal day, out of nowhere, my arm starts to feel like it is on fire. And I look down and like swipe just instinctively, you know, and nothing is there. And yet, like, I absolutely feel like my arm is falling off, like something just bit me, probably a shark is what it felt like. And I was like, what the heck? Like, I can't see anything, but my arm is on fire. And my friends are like, hey, calm down. Like, it's okay. Because I'm panicking. And they're just continuing to say, calm down. Like, that's really helpful in that moment. And so I'm panicked. I'm like, I'm no Bethany Hamilton off Soul Surfer. If this shark bites my arm off, I'm not as influential and I can't come back from this. And but I couldn't see what was happening. And so we finally make our way up to the lifeguard stand, and that's when he tells me, yeah, we're in like a jellyfish season, and that must have been what got your arm, because it looks like, and at that point in time, now my friends are feeling bad for me because my whole arm had swelled up three sizes too big. And so he was there to help provide kind of some, there's vinegar wraps, and I don't know, I learned so much that day. But I look back at that moment, that jellyfish sting, and my friends, as well-meaning as they were, the calm down sentiments were not necessarily super helpful. And that is the same kind of feelings I feel when I read this type of passage. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Okay, thanks. The idea of this type of peace feels attractive. It feels like what I want, but it also feels incredibly unattainable. And honestly, like a little bit frustrating when I am in the midst of those moments, those seasons, those weeks, those times when I feel my most confused, stressed out, and overwhelmed. On top of these questions, one of the biggest questions I had from this passage was, what does Jesus's peace actually even look like? So he says he'll give it to me. He says it will help in the midst of my life where my heart is troubled, but what does this actually look like? He says it's different than the world and what the world has to offer. He knows that we humans are anxious and fearful creatures and are gonna need it. And he somehow has the ability to leave it for us. So what does it look like in our lives? That was the question that I just kept playing over and over and over in my mind. I was searching through, just trying to find almost like this golden egg within John 14. Three things I found looking at this that I feel distinguish the peace of Jesus and the freedom that Jesus offers from everything else. First one is this: freedom and peace are possible because Jesus is better than our circumstances. Jesus is better than our circumstances. His peace, it does in fact go beyond situations, emotions, assumed limitations. Jesus never once promised us a life that was going to be free of anxiety. In fact, in a lot of the last moments that he had with his disciples, he's talking to them about how they're gonna suffer and how the world's gonna hate them like it hated him. He himself knows what he's about to have to go and do and endure on the cross. In the midst of these promises that Jesus makes, I need to know that no matter what I walk through, God's peace is still promised, and it is greater and bigger than my worries and fears. Like when I'm making the big life decision about career or marriage or moving or transition, I need to know that God's gonna show up and that he's gonna provide. That when the floor gets ripped out from underneath you and something super unexpected happens, that we can trust that he will be the only stable thing in the midst of the chaos. When you feel your most alone at the 4 a.m.s, the 2 a.m.s when you're waking up or you have yet to fall asleep, I need to know that the God that I call on, he offers a peace that is greater. He offers you himself rather than just this temporary worldly fix. Psalm 29:11, the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. The peace of Jesus is a person who loves you and understands you completely, who sees you and chooses you. Romans 8:28, a verse that is talked about often here in this space. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Again, just pithy truth if we're not actually letting it take root in our lives and believe that it's true, that he can use whatever you go through and whatever you face ultimately for your good. Becoming someone who navigates anxiety in a way that honors God means I live trusting that Jesus' peace is deeper and his freedom is more full than anything artificial that we could get from this world. Now, I will admit, this trust does not come overnight. I wish it could. I wish we could snap our fingers and never have to doubt or question, but often that's not the reality we find ourselves in. This type of trust, this type of knowing, as far as I've seen, most often comes from that day-to-day abiding and living with Jesus, leaning in the fiery moments, the uncomfortable moments, the putting yourself through the furnace to begin to learn to trust that he's better and he's greater. The freedom and peace he offers is better and greater. Secondly, the freedom and peace God offers is possible because Jesus meets us where we are. I find so much comfort that there is a book like the Book of Psalms that is preserved in scripture. Like you look at the Psalms, I have turned to that book so often in crazy seasons of my life because it is full of authors that are heartbroken, doubting, confused, lamenting, anxious, fearful. They're in the unknown. Like if you think that you have cried out to God in your most raw form and your most unfiltered form, look at the Psalms. I bet you someone has used words that are a little more harsh than even you. But I love it because it shows us and reminds us that those emotions are real and God meets us in them. Never once has God expected you to become someone different than you are so that he can meet you and use you. Like never once, I think someone needs to just hear that again, that never once has God expected you to become someone different, to behave differently, so that he can finally meet you and use you. That's just not truth. All throughout the Bible, God uses those of little faith to accomplish his purposes. So if you're in the room tonight, hearing every word that I'm saying and thinking there's no way that I could actually live in peace, there's no way these truths are written for me, then you're in a good spot. Because God is able to use those of very little faith, mustard seed faith, even when it comes to really hard and complex topics like fear and anxiety. It's also important to note that fear and anxiety are not sins. Like we mentioned at the beginning of this message, those are emotions that are normal and can be used for good purposes by God. Now, there are ways that we can deal with these emotions that can become sinful, but these emotions are real and God has created us with them. Even in those feelings, God promises to meet you and use you and work in and through you. Philippians 4:6-7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Again, there's that beginning part. Don't be anxious about anything. But what if we did read it instead of just this really generalized command? As God meeting us where we are, coming alongside of us, and saying, I am here, I am working, and it's gonna be okay. Don't be anxious because I am a part of this situation with you. I'm never gonna put you in something and then just leave you by yourself to figure it out. We go to God and his peace then in turn guards our hearts, guards our minds. Fear and anxiety are not sins. However, we do have a choice as a believer to how we respond in those moments. In our anxiety, we can cry out to God. We can invite him into these moments. We can grow in our faith, persevere in our faith, learn more about his heart for us. Or we can continue to live like those who do not have the enduring hope of Jesus. I wonder if the people outside of the church look at the church and see us responding in the face of anxiety differently. Like, are we a people that show others that it makes a difference to have the Spirit of God living inside of us? That we don't give in to those emotions, we don't let them be our identity, but we actually wage war against them, and we have the one that's already won on our side. Do we look different than the rest of the world when we're navigating our fears and worries and anxieties? Becoming someone who navigates anxiety in a way that honors God means that I live knowing I have a Father who meets me where I'm at and offers his support and care. I'm just called to invite him in. The weaknesses we have in our lives have a really good way of reminding us of our dependence on God. Leads me into my third point, which is freedom and peace are possible when we look upward rather than inward or outward. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. This peace is freely given. Jesus says, my peace I leave with you as a gift, an offering to those that are following him. He was gonna give them his peace, this unique peace we've already seen that is deeper and more full, that meets them where they're at. And his peace is contrasted with the peace of the world. Not as the world gives do I give you. One of the questions that we asked earlier on is, how does this type of peace look different? How is the peace of Jesus so different than the peace of the world? The truth of it is that this peace, Jesus's peace, finds its complete fulfillment in gazing at the face of God rather than anything that we can find in ourselves or find in the world. That the only way our hearts can truly not be troubled or afraid is when we look to God, the one who has created us and made us and caused the sun to rise and to set, and say, you're the one that I am depending on. I look to you to find this peace and no one else, nowhere else. I'm a control person through and through. I'm working on it. But I am a control person. I like knowing. I like having things under control. I like being able to know the details. And so this type of submission, this type of release and surrender to give over my feelings and my future and my plans and the ways that I want to make something happen is really, really difficult for me. I often want to think about it happening in really big, monumental ways in my life. And then what I usually end up seeing is that it's the small moments of I feel these emotions start to come on, and I feel myself wanting to control something rather than let God be the leader of my life. And it's the prayer, this really simple, quick prayer often that it's like, okay, I'm feeling this here. Can you help me understand where that's coming from? Can you take that? Looks like inviting community in the moment. Not next week or next month, which is fine and a value and it's beautiful, but there is something really special when I get a text or a call from a friend that says, in this moment, this is what I'm struggling with. This is what I'm tempted with. Can you pray with me or pray for me? I feel like they trust me. Invite your community in. You're not ever called to do this alone. Remembering and reminding yourself of verses that speak directly to these issues and put them in places, write them in places where you see them regularly so you are reminded of God's character. Taking those deep breaths and being exactly where your feet are planted because God has not asked you to be anywhere else but there. Peace that Jesus is talking about is freely given. However, this passage still calls us to discipline our minds and draw them back to truth. We call them back to reality instead of letting our minds drift constantly to this imagined future. Our ever-growing anxiety is rooted in looking to ourselves to know the answers, to fix the problem, to do better. And Jesus reminds us that we are to value God's priorities over the world's priorities, to look to him for peace and answers rather than ourselves. His peace is everlasting, and the peace you find in the world often is very circumstantial. Becoming someone who navigates anxiety in a way that honors God means that I live with God on the throne of my life, and I let him be the Lord of my tomorrow. I don't try to take that into my own hands, but I release that and I surrender that and let God, who's a good and loving and gracious provider, be the Lord of my tomorrows. The freedom and peace of Jesus is greater than any circumstance, anything we find ourselves in. The freedom and peace of Jesus meets us exactly where we are. The freedom and peace of Jesus looks upward rather than inward and outward. So what do we do in all of this? Like, how do we, again, maybe you're still kind of, there's some of those lingering questions of, yeah, but practically, I feel like I have struggled against anxiety and these feelings for so much of my life. What do I do? For some of you in this room, that's joining the Care Series class this next Monday, where we dive in a little bit deeper of what that looks like. For some of you, it looks like that daily grind of persevering and continuing to go back to the Lord, back to community. The three things I have found helpful is that the first is we practice inviting God in. Anyone can do this, any time of day you can do this. And what does that actually even look like? I had a mentor a couple of years ago really challenge me to be super blunt and honest in my prayers with God and bring him everything. I grew up in a denomination where it was, if you were praying out loud in youth group, you better have the right words, it better sound really nice and polished and look really good and be less than 30 seconds long. And so for me to have this kind of, this door just opened wide for how I can pray honestly and openly with God as things come up was really freeing for me. I didn't have to have all the right words. So I feel this emotion come up and I'm like, God, I feel anxious about this situation. I feel anxious about something that's happening 3 months from now, 6 months from now. What do I do with that? Can you help me with that? Can your spirit give me peace? And that is what it looks like, simply to invite God into that. And then to do that again and again and again. For me, sometimes those prayers happen every 15 minutes. Secondly, 1 Peter 5:7 tells us to cast our anxieties on the Lord because he cares for you. Write those anxieties down, the things that you find yourself struggling with day in and day out. Maybe that's a daily exercise. You get home from work in the evenings and you write these things out and you physically lay them down somewhere. And you pray over this list and you give this list to God. He cares about them. He wants to be invited in. There's something really good when our brain can connect something we're doing physically as if we are actively putting that out of our lives, surrendering that to God. And then finally, find a verse or a passage about peace and commit it to memory. I gave a couple examples here of just some that I used, whether it was in this lesson or in studying for this lesson. There are so many though. A lot of your Bibles probably even have, like in the back of the Bibles, verses about peace. But find one that works for you. Write it somewhere where you see it. Every time I go to speak on a stage like this, I'm so nervous. And every time I read 2 Timothy 1:7, where it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. I am a minister of the gospel. God is doing the heavy lifting. I get to just be the messenger. And I remind myself that he's given me that spirit. Same for you in your life. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but he works in you. He gives you power and love and self-control. So find those verses that minister well to your heart, to your life, to your circumstances. Call them to memory. Thinking back to my very, very traumatic jellyfish story from earlier, Andy made a good point to me when I was telling that story. But he was like, you know, that jellyfish kind of is like anxiety in your life, if we're being real. You couldn't see it. It came on really unexpectedly. And no one around you understood what you were going through. The only person that could provide support and comfort in that moment that knew what you were going through and knew the solution to your problems was the lifeguard. And you had to get there. You had to take yourself there, put yourself in front of him, and ask for assistance. We have someone that cares enough about you. Come before him. Lay these things at his feet. Call on him for help and support. This seemingly impossible peace is made possible by a God that loves you and cares for you and has come to give you freedom. God uses the little faiths, the skeptics, the questioners, the doubters. That's not too big for him. He is content to use people in ways that show them more of who he is, show the world more of a hope that looks so different. Your fear, your anxieties, they give you opportunities to grow, to persevere, to ask good questions. This type of faith grows and matures, and like our final photo of our anxiety, character from our movie, you can find your little resting place, your little herbal tea, and know your rightful place. Know who God has called you to be and who he is. True and lasting peace is absolutely attainable, but is only through Jesus. Only through Jesus. Let's pray. God, I am humbled that you would even ask me to speak on anxiety. This is a hard message. It's one that I feel like I'm gonna walk off this stage and the next hour of my life struggle to actually even believe. God, cement your truth into my life. Let your voice be so much louder than my fears and my worries. And I pray the exact same sentiment for every heart in this room. That although, God, you often speak in whispers and quiet places, let those voices, those whispers speak so loudly in the midst of stressful lives, overwhelming circumstances. You are our peace, God. Show us what that actually looks like, degree by degree, every single day, in every person's individual lives, in their workplaces, in their homes, in their communities, in their decisions, in their relationships. You provide peace. Somehow you can do it. Through your Spirit, you are able, God, and we call on your name to be made powerful in this room. Allow your Spirit to overflow into the hearts of the people here. That your truth would not just be truth that we read over and over again and the repetition causes it to lose its power, God, but that this truth, your scripture, would be as living and active as it is, as it was when it was written, that it will be today. Thank you for being patient. Thank you for using us, God. Thank you for giving us your peace. Amen.